v. Gleason. Is the appellant ready to argue?
Yes, Your Honor.
Government?
Yes, Your Honor.
Appellant may argue.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, Chief Judge Stuckey and members of the court. May it please the court, I'm Robert Feldmeyer. I represent the appellant in this case, Staff Sergeant Michael Gleason. Your Honor, the president in the manual for court-martial, Part 4, Paragraph 60C6C, indicated that only when conduct of an accused does not fall under any of the enumerated Article 134 offenses contained in the manual for court-martial, only then may a specification not listed in the manual be used to allege the offense. In this case, the government drafted a novel specification that was fully and fairly contained within the enumerated offense, obstruction of justice. The elements of the offense at issue here are as follows. One, that on or about 2 March 2014, at or near Killeen, Texas, Private First Class JW attempted to place a request for assistance to an emergency fire, law enforcement, or medical agency. Two, that the accused knowingly and wrongfully interfered with that individual's ability to place a request for assistance. And three, that such conduct was to the prejudice of good order and discipline of the armed forces of a nature to bring discredit upon the armed forces. By contrast, the president, in defining the offense of obstruction of justice, required the government to prove four elements, three of which are contained, albeit with different verbiage, but three of which are contained in the novel offense and one which is not present. Specifically, that the accused wrongfully did a certain act, the accused did so in the case of a person against whom the accused had reason to believe there would be criminal proceedings pending, and that the act was done with the intent to influence, impede, or otherwise obstruct the due administration of justice, that under the circumstances the conduct of the accused was to the prejudice of good order or discipline in the armed forces or was of a nature to bring discredit upon the armed forces.
Counsel, what do you say to the government's contention that there are two different intents here? That on the one hand, what she wanted was a social service agent, using the police as a social service agency to get her out of there and get her stuff, and that obstruction of justice is aimed at something else?
Well, several things, Your Honor. Number one, that her subjective intent isn't relevant. It's what his intent was.
Well, but her subjective intent does seem not quite to follow the elements of obstruction as promulgated by the president.
Well, Your Honor, it's impossible to report. The police aren't social workers, and there's no confidentiality.
Well, she seemed to want them to be, but leaving that aside.
Yes, Your Honor, she may seem to want them to be, but it's impossible to request police assistance for a crime without reporting that crime. So the government's contention that there is a distinction or difference based upon the civilian statutes, that may be with regard to the civilian statutes present in Texas, because the obstruction of justice offense in Texas, if I'm not mistaken, requires actual obstruction. The president's offense does not require that actual obstruction occurred, but merely that there be an intent to impede the reporting of a crime.
Counsel, can we back up a little bit? And there's been various phrases that are used, like covers the same ground, and you said fully and fairly contained within. What is the exact test for when a novel offense can be used? Is the test that you can't have something that's a lesser included offense? In other words, we have to determine that the novel offense would have been a lesser included offense. I mean, if it was allowed to stand, that it would be a lesser included offense, that it contains no elements that obstruction of justice does not contain?
I mean, Your Honor, the test from the manual is whether or not it falls under any of the enumerated Article 134 offenses. I mean, could you slot this?
And falls under. And, you know, looking at Reese and Guardado, we used language like covers the same ground, or the government recognized that it couldn't prove one of the elements, so it got rid of one of the elements. I'm just having a little bit of difficulty here with trying to figure out. The novel specification seems to require a proof of something that obstruction of justice would not require, which was that she was trying to place a request for assistance.
Well, Your Honor, the request that she was trying to place a request for assistance has to do with that he did so that with the second element of obstruction of justice, that the request for assistance was a request from the police, and that therefore he had reason to believe that there would be criminal proceedings because of the nature of the fact that if you notify the police of an offense, you therefore report the offense, and the victim in both the civilian and military justice systems may have a say, but isn't the decider as to whether or not that offense will be prosecuted.
Well, that's usually true, but I don't think you could say it's strictly true. If she called the fire department, that might not be a criminal proceeding. I mean, she doesn't know anything about criminal proceedings at this point. What I'm just saying is, let's put aside maybe this particular thing. If there is an element in the novel offense which must be proved that is not in the listed offense, does that mean that it's okay?
I know, Your Honor, because the manual for court-martial's instruction from the president, who, while he can't expand the jurisdiction of courts-martial, he can limit it. The president's instruction was only that if the conduct doesn't fall under any enumerated article, that it maybe charges a novel offense. Here, the conduct clearly falls within obstruction of justice. It also falls within the enumerated disorderly conduct offense that the manual contains. So only in cases...
Or larceny of a phone.
Or assault, Your Honor, Article 128, which would put us not within this, the paragraph 60C6C, but within the preemption doctrine. So only where the government cannot slot conduct within Article 134 within an enumerated offense, only then may the government draft a not enumerated offense as it did.
So you're saying that in this case they had to file it as an obstruction of justice charge, and that they had to allege then that he did so in the case of a certain person against whom the accused had reason to believe that there would be criminal proceedings pending, whether we know that or not, and it was done with the intent to influence, impede, or otherwise obstruct the due administration of justice, as opposed to having the police arrive at the house?
I mean, Your Honor...
Because that's the logical corollary of what you're saying, is it had to be charged exactly that way, whether there's any evidence of those things, those two elements or not.
Well, no, Your Honor, that's not exactly what I'm saying, that there are several provisions in Article 134 in the enumerated offenses which the government could have used, and only where the conduct can't be slotted into any enumerated Article 134 offense may the government draft a novel specification.
But you're saying that it should have been charged as obstruction of justice, which means that it had to be slotted under there, and I'm saying where's the evidence that it would meet those elements?
I mean, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
No, I mean here. Where is the evidence of those two things? Because it seems to me that then your argument is, well, it had to be charged this way, but then they couldn't prove that because there's no evidence of those two things.
Well, So
which I think goes to Judge Maggs's point, which is, does it have to be that the thing that the other offense would be an LIO of the enumerated Article 134 offense? Because I think that was our concern in the last two cases we did, which is basically the government couldn't prove an element of the enumerated Article 134 offense, so they created a novel spec that had everything that it could prove and not the thing it couldn't prove. And that's distinct from what's happened here.
Well, Your Honor, I'm not sure that I'd agree that it's distinct from what happened here. I would agree, of course, that the government, that only the president can create a lesser included Article 134 offense. But only the president can say that, all right, a greater included enumerated Article 134 offense has four elements, and I'm going to delete one of those elements to make a lesser included offense. The president can do that, the trial counsel cannot, because as this court correctly identified in both Reese and Guardado, that has important due process concerns and the president in promulgating the mandate for court-martial specifically prohibited trial counsels from doing just that. The argument I would make, Your Honor, is that if the government can prove three but not four elements of an enumerated Article 134 offense, just as in Guardado, where the government maybe could not prove the indecent speech element, if that's the case, then you don't have an offense. When the president takes action to define an Article 134 offense, he does so for the purpose of putting service members on notice that this is what is and is not a crime. Now, in the case here, Your Honor, I think the president, in indicating that actual obstruction is not required for the Article 134 obstruction of justice offense, he defined the outer limits of this offense to include the conduct here. While the manual for court martial specifically prohibits deleting elements of an enumerated offense, it does more than that. It says that if you can place the conduct within an enumerated offense, you can't create a novel offense.
Counsel, was this issue preserved?
Well, I mean, he pled not guilty, Your Honor. So it is preserved, and it's jurisdictional.
And why is it jurisdictional, in your view?
Well, it fails to state an offense, and he pled not guilty to the offense.
So what cases are you citing to for that proposition in this type of context?
Your Honor, in United States v. Guardado, the accused didn't raise the issue of either the preemption doctrine or paragraph 60C6C at trial. However, this court held that because he pled not guilty and failed to state an offense, the issue was preserved. Members of the court, turning to what this court should do in the event that it sets aside and dismisses the novel specification issue here, this court should order a rehearing as to sentencing. Specifically, because if this court sets aside the Article 134 offense at issue, the novel Article 134 offense at issue here, both Article 134 offenses of which the accused was convicted at trial, adultery and this novel specification, will be gone. And with those offenses gone, the appellant moves from being somebody with an integrity problem, somebody who commits adultery and who interferes with the administration of justice, to somebody who has PTSD and MTBI, which is what he has. Now, there's ample evidence obtained in the record of trial that he's about to receive 100% disability as a result of combat injuries suffered over multiple deployments. But for the government's ability to portray him as a person who lacks integrity and doesn't live by the Army values, this court cannot be assured by any evidentiary standard that the same sentence would have applied. Therefore, because of the significant aggravating factor of the ability to use what is essentially a crimen falsi, obstruction of justice light, and adultery, which, while not being a crimen falsi, is viewed by many members as being almost a crimen falsi, without those two aggravating offenses, this court cannot be assured that the same sentence would have prevailed.
This was charged in this novel spec was charged as general disorder, wasn't it?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Correct, Your Honor. Based upon the foregoing...
Mr. Feldman, isn't a general order the maximum is only 6 months, isn't it, for a general disorder?
I mean, yes, Your Honor. Based upon the Winkleman factors, that first factor would go that there's not a significant change in the punitive landscape. Yes, that would go in favor of the government. However, Your Honor, again, the significantly aggravating factor that this service member lacks integrity because of these discipline offenses.
Right, but why should we order a rehearing? Why don't we do what we normally do, just send it back to the lower court and let them do their thing?
Well,
from an appropriateness standpoint.
Several things, Your Honor, that the other Winkleman factors, that he went with a panel and that there was this novel Article 134 offense, which by definition, judges of the courts of criminal appeals don't have experience dealing with it because it is a novel specification. There's no way to know what a panel would have done without this significant aggravation.
Right. But, I mean, don't they get to make that decision? They could decide otherwise. They could say, we agree with you, Mr. Feldmayer. We think that there should be a rehearing. Why do we have to do it?
Your Honor, just based upon the Winkleman.
Not that I'm trying to get out of doing my work, but I mean, that's how it's set up and that's how it works normally, doesn't it?
I mean, I in my experience before this court, I've seen the honorable members of this court do both, set aside the sentence for purposes of judicial economy and just send it right back to
Rosenberg. Oh, those are old cases, aren't they?
What's that?
Those are very old cases.
I mean, I represented United States v. Campbell, a service member whom I represented. Yeah, this court did just that.
Set the matter. I mean, was I on the court then?
Yes, Your Honor, you were. Barring questions from the members of the court.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Counsel for the government.
Chief Judge Stuckey, members of the court, may it please the court. I'm Captain Nathani Gans, and I, along with my co-counsel, Captain Jeremy Watford, represent the United States. The specification alleges the offense of knowingly and wrongfully interfering with an emergency call. It captures unique criminal misconduct, and it is not listed under the Article 134 framework.
Well, how do you answer the appellant's contention that the two are so intertwined that you can't pick them apart, which seems to be what the appellant is arguing, that using the police as a social welfare agency and using the police to inform to nab criminals, nab alleged criminals, is so intertwined that one necessarily implies the other?
That's incorrect, Your Honor. Although there may be some overlap in certain cases, and perhaps in this case, what was actually charged was interfering with an emergency call. And that's important because we're under a failure to state an offense framework.
And the emergency was?
The emergency was that appellant was assaulting her, that appellant had stuck his fingers down her
throat. Well, that's a crime.
Yes, Your Honor. However,
if the emergency were simply, his boobs got my furniture and I want it back, or, you know, the cat's up the tree, or what have you. But you seem to be making the appellant's argument for him.
Your Honor, so...
Or maybe I'm misunderstanding what you're saying.
Your Honor, let me clarify. So in those cases, there wouldn't be overlap that you just cited to, Your Honor. But in this case, we are under the failure to state an offense framework. So this court should be looking at the specification as charged, whether or not that states an offense expressly or by necessary implication. And to do that, this court looks to the language of the specification, the elements, and the definitions within those elements. And so, for example, in United States v. Reese and United States v. Guardado, the specification, the novel specifications that were alleged on their face were either, in Reese, was obstructing justice, and in Guardado, that was communicating indecent language. And this case is different from those two cases because the specification, as alleged, charged a separate offense that does not fall under any of the listed offenses. It does not fall under obstructing justice.
Counsel, is the test for whether it's a different offense the same test as whether it's a lesser-included offense?
Your Honor, I think that there is a lot of overlap in that test. And I think that when there is an different elements, as there are here, well, then it certainly isn't a listed Article 134 offense. However, I don't even think that this court needs to go as far as looking at the elements of the novel offense because it's enough on its face. If you look at this specification as charged, this is an offense. Now, does this offense fall under any listed offense in Article 134? It does not.
Counsel, as I understood the counsel for the appellant, I asked specifically, you know, how it is that placing an emergency call is within the elements of obstruction of justice. And the answer was, well, necessarily if you're calling the police, there's going to be a criminal proceeding. You agree with that?
First of all, no. I think that requires a big inference, a big leap I mean, maybe that wouldn't happen. Maybe a crime wouldn't be reported. Maybe she would just say, I need to get out of here. I need your help. But more importantly, what appellant is asking you to do, Your Honor, is to delve into the evidence and the facts and what the government could or could not prove, which this court should not do and has not historically done in a failure to state an offense context.
So, counsel, what are we to make of Manual for Court-Martial Part 4, Paragraph 96C, that uses quite broad language when it gives as an example of obstruction of justice, preventing communication of information relating to the violation of a law to a person authorized to conduct an investigation. So it doesn't get to these points about exactly what needs to be reported and what capacity they're serving in, whether it's social service, social welfare agency, or whatever. It seems as if an example of obstruction of justice given in the manual is very broad.
Yes, Your Honor. And the government agrees with that. And the government's position is not that this could not have been charged as obstruction of justice, this fact pattern, that it couldn't have somehow been squished in and made to work in this fact pattern. The government's position is that the charged offense, interfering with an emergency call, is a different offense, too.
So it's just a matter of the language that's employed by the government? As long as they use language that is a little different from any offense, we don't have to worry about whether that offense falls within the parameters of 134?
So I wouldn't say a little different. I would say it is greatly different. In fact, this language and this offense does not fall in. But if the government is just, you know, playing games and just changing language a bit, or there will be other, there's going to be other safeguards, questions of whether or not they can actually prove their case, and then factual sufficiency review on appeal. Here, the two offenses are markedly different. They protect different societal interests. Interfering with an emergency call, the societal interest is safety for victims, safety for individuals.
But doesn't that undercut your argument? If the emergency here, if the reason for the emergency call is not that I need assistance removing my personal goods from the home of the boyfriend with whom I'm having difficulties, as compared to I need your assistance to remove my personal goods because he just held a gun to my head, which is what happened here. Isn't that an important distinction?
Yes, Your Honor. I think it's important, and it goes, actually, it helps the government's position because it shows here that there was an ongoing emergency. She was being assaulted. This was immediate. She was calling to get help, to get assistance. And those were
so are you saying, though, that this could have been charged as 134, but we should somehow no longer be focused on the aspects of that we've done in our precedents, where we're focusing on whether and if the offense charged falls strictly within the parameters of 134, we're supposed to be looking at some other aspect here?
No, Your Honor. So respectfully, what I would say this court did in United States v. Guardado, United States v. Reese, is it looked at the specification as alleged and whether or not that specification was an offense that was already listed. And in Guardado, it was. It was the sexual nature and the sexual communications that was, as this court held, the gravamen of the offense, was the sexual nature of the communications. Here, the gravamen of the two offenses are different. The gravamen of interfering, the gravamen of the novel general disorder offense is interfering with emergency services.
Gans, let me ask you this. If the societal interest that you say this offense addresses is a significant one, then why wouldn't Congress or the President have discerned that societal interest as well? Why is it up to the prosecutor, and why should it be up to the prosecutor to decide that? I mean, don't Congress and the President have appropriate and probably greater expertise in determining what is in the societal interest for the military community?
They would have, either one would have the ability to...
Either one being...
Congress or the President, to enumerate it or to list it under Article 134, but it's not necessary here because the President has allowed for these general disorder offenses to capture...
Right, but you have characterized this as the protection of a societal interest. Now, I assume you're talking about the military society. That seems to be an area well beyond the ambit of a prosecutor's interest. No? You can disagree with me. I don't mind.
I do. I disagree, Your Honor. A prosecutor is looking at the victim and looking what happened in this case.
I understand that. I'm just wondering what you just told me. You just told me this is a societal interest. Did you not mean that in the literal sense, maybe?
I guess I meant it is a safety interest that everyone is and should be concerned with. That people who need access to medical treatment, to emergency services, that access isn't hindered. And it's not just the trial counsel in this case who thought that. Many states have interfering with an emergency call statutes.
Right, that their legislatures have drafted, isn't that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. So I guess the concern I have, if this court is going to delve so deeply into the facts and the evidence that could or couldn't be proved or maybe could be proved.
Isn't that what we do?
Not in failure to state an offense context, Your Honor. In fact, this court has said in that context, you don't actually look at the underlying evidence and the what was or could have been proved at trial.
Right, let me take another swing at you here, and not in the literal sense. And I keep beating you up on the societal interest issue, but if the issue was as significant as you say, wouldn't the President have drafted one and enumerated under 134 and given it an appropriate maximum sentence to tell all of us how significant and how serious this offense is? I still don't understand why we're going to relegate it to the prosecutor to decide what this should be and give it a 6-month potential maximum punishment if the interest is so great.
Your Honor, 2 points to that. That list is not exhaustive. It's merely examples of circumstances.
Which list is it?
The Article 134 listed offenses.
Oh, I understand that.
Not exhaustive. So secondly, this, although it is a legitimate interest, making sure that victims and other people who need medical help can have access to that, it still might be less of an interest than ensuring that our justice system is not impeded. So the 5-year...
Impeding of the justice system is what the obstruction of justice offense is aimed at.
Yes, sir.
So if that's your argument, then I think it cuts against what you want us to find.
Your Honor...
obstruction of justice, as I understand it at least, is aimed at not allowing an accused to impede the workings of the justice system by threatening or impeding or somehow keeping people from participating.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor, which is a distinctly and identifiably separate interest than this novel offense that was charged.
Well, but the facts of this case cut the other way. He beat her. He held a gun to her. And you're saying, well, this is a societal interest, something like calling the fire department to get the cat out of the tree. Well, no, it's not. She got beat up. She got a gun held on her. Yeah, she wants her stuff out of there. But I very much doubt that that's all she wants.
What if he only said, you're not calling the police? He said, if you're not calling the police and you're not going anywhere, would that be better facts for you or worse facts for you?
So, I mean, I think in that case, we would still, that the charge of interfering with emergency call would still hold true. I mean, Whether or not that would be obstructing justice, probably not. And we don't know whether or not the government, whether or not there's enough evidence to prove obstructing justice, because the government chose not to charge it. They chose to charge a different offense. So the facts and the evidence that would develop this obstruction of justice charge were not developed at trial because the government charged a different offense.
But the question, I think, for us is whether they could charge a different offense, right? I mean, that's exactly the thing that we have to decide, which is, given the facts, given the law, given the broad swath of conduct that arguably is covered by obstruction of justice, was the government permitted under 134 without making reference to a state law, right? I mean, because I think this would be a different case if you use the Federal Civil Crimes Act, right? An alleged violation of a state.
Yes, Your Honor.
Interfering with an emergency call.
Yes, Your Honor, which they couldn't do because this occurred off post. So, but I guess just because something could be charged as one of the listed offenses doesn't mean that the government has to charge every single one of the listed offenses that it might fall underneath and it might be able to prove. That's not the test. And in fact, I am concerned. So,
you've been asked several times, what is the test? And I still don't know what the test is.
The test is if the offense that the government is trying to charge, that offense that is in the specification, if that is listed elsewhere under Article 134, if that offense is listed, then the government must charge that offense.
That's what I thought you just said, that, well, they could have charged it under obstruction of justice, but they chose not to.
Your Honor, almost every single criminal misconduct that an appellant might commit could possibly be charged under a Article 134 drunken and disorderly conduct. It just requires that someone's peace be breached. I don't think that that's what the president wanted, was to eviscerate the general disorder offense. And I think if this court goes further than Guardado, which is looking at not only the elements, but also looking at the definitions within those elements, I think if the court goes further and starts delving into evidence and facts that the government could or could not have proved, this court will essentially eviscerate this general disorder offense. And I think that there is a place for it. And that place is this case. That is what the government was concerned with. The government was concerned with the gravamen of this conduct, which was not interfering with her ability to report his crime. The government didn't care about that. The government was concerned with the fact that he wouldn't let her call the police to get help and assistance getting out of his house. And she was forced to go out in the cold and run away from him. That's what the government was concerned with, and the government should be able to make that charging decision. Pending further questions.
Thank you, counsel. Does the appellant have rebuttal?
Perfect. Your Honor, the government did just concede, that pursuant to the definition contained in the manual, this court should dismiss the charge. The manual states, if the conduct of an accused does not fall under any of the enumerated Article 134 offenses, then, and only then, may the government charge a novel specification. The government just conceded that this conduct could be charged as obstruction of justice. Pursuant to the plain...
Do you think that could be squished into is the same thing as the obverse that does not fall under?
I mean,
I have to say, could be squished into it, I think, because that's what the concession is referring to.
I'm not sure exactly how could be uh, could be fit under versus does not fall under really is a different concession, Your Honor. The government further conceded that this could be charged as an Article 134 disorderly conduct. In the same way that the government can't charge lesser congressionally enacted offenses and then turn it into a dereliction of duty or failure to obey a lawful order, or the only where the government can't escalate the appellant's punitive exposure in that manner, I think that one of the equities at which the president is aiming in this case is that the government can't use the novel specification to up the appellant's punitive exposure by using a novel offense where it's 6 months versus four for a disorderly conduct.
Counsel, may I ask a question? The government stressed repeatedly that when we're faced with a question of failure to state an offense, we don't look at the actual facts that were proved, but we simply look at the offense as charged, and the question is that an offense as it is charged without knowing the facts that are proved? Is that the correct analysis?
I'm not sure that that it is, Your Honor. Number one, the correct analysis, several things. I would not agree with the government's contention that there's any difference in the elements here, except as to verbiage.
I don't think that that's Judge Max's question. He's asking, when we look to see whether something states an offense, do we just look at the offense that's charged, or do we look at all the facts in the case behind the charge?
I think that borrowing from the preemption doctrine, this court should look at whether or not the offense as drafted in the novel specification is fairly encompassed within the same area of an enumerated specification. But
let me ask this hypothetical. Let's suppose that you have Soldier A and Soldier B, and Soldier A's house is burning down, and Soldier A pulls out his cell phone and starts to call 911. Soldier B snatches away the cell phone. Could that be charged under any kind of under the UCMJ?
Certainly, Your Honor.
As obstruction of justice?
Wouldn't
a novel specification of interfering with an emergency call be the correct?
I think a larceny specification would be.
He didn't intend it permanently. He just took it and turned it off.
I mean, Your Honor, the fact that he wrongfully detained somebody else's property.
He just reaches over and presses the button. He just reaches over and presses the off button. And we can go through the hypothetical a million different ways, but.
I'm sorry. He's not taking the phone now.
He reaches over and he presses the off button in the middle of the 911 call. This seems like that is criminal conduct. It's not listed. It's not obstruction of justice. And just looking at the elements, it would fit exactly within this charge.
Your Honor, I don't have an enumerated offense off the top of my head that would precisely fit into those parameters. I'm not sure that it would not constitute another offense under the code, a reckless endangerment type offense, for example.
Well, does a concession on your part that Judge Maggs's hypothetical would properly be chargeable as interrupting or preventing someone from calling an emergency phone call, does that undermine your case?
It doesn't, Your Honor, because for several reasons. Number one, because the obstruction of justice fairly encompasses the misconduct alleged here, the obstruction of justice charge. Number two, because the elements are, in my view, the same.
Well, I was just wondering why you were fighting so hard against that hypothetical when it didn't seem to undermine
I don't think it does undermine my case, Your Honor. However, I would, as a last note, indicate that I believe the President included this provision in the manual for court-martial because, and obviously I'm over, because he intended that novel specifications should be rarely used. They seem unfair because by service tradition, but it's very difficult for a service member to say, I had notice of this when it's not the specific.
So you're saying that we should be looking here not only the language that is charged, but the underlying facts.
Yes,
to determine whether it fits under obstruction of justice in this particular instance. And that's why Judge Maggs's hypothetical does not affect your particular case.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you, members of the court. Barring further questions.
Thank you, counsel. Court thanks counsel for both sides. Case is now submitted, and the court is in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.